Hello, my name is Sammy James, and I would like to welcome you to Boo-Ha-Ha Podcast. Here on Boo-Ha-Ha, we will have a different conversation every week on a horror or paranormal topic, and all of these conversations are with comedians like myself, who happen to also be horror or paranormal fans. We're going to talk about horror movies, horror books, but also some other stuff that might surprise you. And besides us all being comedians, this show also prioritizes voices that might not always be included in mainstream horror conversation. So a lot of these conversations are with people of color, trans people, queer people, disabled people, and the occasional straight and cis person as well. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the ride, and let's get going. One, well, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Hi.
Yeah.
Hanging in. How are you?
I'm all right. And it's like, I feel like that's always kind of how I've started my podcast. But since March, it's just become like more of like a legitimate check-in with the people who I'm talking to.
They're like, wait, how are you doing? No. I think that's like kind of the thing with all of life, all of the little weird little things that we take for granted as part of our lives are actual real things we have to consider.
Yeah.
Which is, in some ways is good in this all of the awesomeness.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's but it's also, it's so weird that like this is the I've done like three podcasts. This is the first one that is starting during this.
Oh, really?
But the other two, like if you go back, and they even had some pre-recorded. So while this was starting, they'd have some stuff that was just like, huh? It's pretty weird.
Do you notice a shift from one to the other, like in tone and?
I think so, and it's especially, like, you know, back, I think in, like, April, I still had pre-recorded stuff of some that I'd release and be like, just, and I'd make, like, notes and all that. This was before.
Right. Pre-corona.
Yeah.
COVID.
Yeah.
I see.
But anyway, from
about a horror movie.
Right? I was just about to say, well, from horror movie to actual horror movie.
Let's talk about horror movies to divert our attention from the horror of our daily lives.
Yeah, but anyway, I have my guests on this show introduce themselves. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everybody. My name is Dre Campbell. Dre, D-R-A-E. D like David. A lot of people don't hear it correctly when they hear it over the sound wave, so I just want to make sure. And then Campbell liked the soup.
Yep. Yeah, and it's
happy to be here. Happy to be on air with you.
We've
made this a couple times, and now it's finally happened, and I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. And we're gonna talk about. We'll introduce the topic in a little bit, but we're going to talk about a movie that, you know, people might still be surprised to hear about on a horror podcast, even though it's a horror movie.
It is an actual legit horror movie.
You know, it's one of those movies that people like to, you know, call, you know, pretend it's something else, but it's a horror movie.
Oh, yeah. No, it is an actual terrorizing.
Yeah.
It's a scare. I would call it a scary movie.
Yeah.
And I think scary movies and horror movies have started to part ways, but I think they're basically have always traditionally have been thought of in the same category.
Yeah, and that's.
I
And it's this is a movie that like people, the same people who will say like it's not a horror movie will then also say it's one of the scariest movies ever made. What?
It changed. I feel like it changed movies in a lot of ways, and there were so many, pardon the pun, so many people bit off of it. I'm here all week.
If we're gonna keep hinting at it, let's quickly get through the first question so we can introduce it. What was your intro to horror?
My intro to horror in general,
Yeah.
prior to this film that we're going to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, and if it was this film, that's fine too.
I mean, it could have been this film, but I do want to say that my mom took me to a lot of inappropriate movies. What I feel like she just wanted to go to the movies, and I was with her. So,
Same.
seventies and
Same.
eighties. So I saw a lot of amazing, awful, scary, frightening, like, what would you call it? Damaging or horror movies? Like Carrie, maybe, or Halloween.
Okay.
The movie that in question that we're going to talk about had a profound effect on my life and my childhood and up to this day. But Carrie, I don't know if everybody saw the original Carrie, but
Oh, yeah.
it's a really good movie, and that ending is just breathtaking, literally. And I remember seeing that when I was a kid in the theater, and it was like shocking and scary and like made everybody jump out of their seats.
Yeah.
And it's such a like, comment on like, who's the villain? Is this person a villain?
Yeah, and that was an early horror movie for me that kind of stuck with me.
What, Carrie?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah, because of the way that she's ostracized and the weird Christianity piece of it.
Yeah, and
And
I actually
horny.
think that I might have seen The Rage
Oh.
before I saw before I saw the first Carrie. I saw if you've ever seen the Rage Carrie 2.
Oh, is that the spin-off from like the early aughts? Or
No,
like, is it
no.
a remake?
Yeah, no, they did a remake, but there's in the 80s or late 80s or early 90s, there's a sequel to Carrie that came out. Which it's panned.
Oh, really? And
It's
it's called The Rage?
yeah, and it's like it's another girl with telekinetic powers.
Right. Oh, good old telekinetics.
But I
Poor
think I
Carrie.
saw that one first and like enjoyed it, but when I saw the original Carrie, not long after I saw the original.
Oh,
And that
that's what happened to me.
that's just a movie that has stuck with me.
So the rage stuck with you more than Carrie?
Well, no, I don't know. It's the Carrie definitely stuck with me, but I think like The Rage is more one of those movies that like even though I think I can agree it's bad, it's just one that I'll never let go. I'm just like it's a
Did you ever
guilty
see
pleasure, I think.
Trilogy of Terror?
What?
Trilogy of Terror?
I've seen that.
I feel like that's a movie that was like in everyone's life all the time that everybody talked about. With like the little creature that comes after people. I don't know why I think of it in the same genre vein time, but I guess in the same time period. A lot of women getting terrorized in these movies, I
Yeah.
realize. Whether they're the bad guy or the victim.
Yeah.
That old trope. Good times.
Yeah. But so Should we introduce the topic for today?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. I'm ready.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about Jaws, everybody. And so apparently that main theme isn't that hard to play.
Oh, really? On what? Like the piano?
Yeah, and I guess because it's just E, F. It's just E and F over and over again.
Smart. That's really cool. You know, I think about that theme a lot because that composer, I think it's John Williams, composed like all of the most iconic film scores where we think of a movie and you say the theme before you say anything else. And it's like, this guy's a genius, and it's two chords. And if you watch Jaws, you realize there's so... One of the reasons I love the movie, besides the fact that it had such a profound effect on my life, like it scared the shit out of me at a very young age, is that there's so much good filmmaking in the original film. There's so much great suspense. There's so many great characters. And you realize you actually don't see the shark a lot.
Yeah, you don't see it till it's like an hour in.
Yeah, and it's a lot having to do with that theme song and with people's reaction to their reality.
Yeah.
Or their denial of reality. Mm-hmm. And it's also so, I mean, I'm sure you've seen the memes. There's all these, like, Jaws memes going around about COVID and comparing it to, like, the mayor in it to Trump. And it's so much about public health and public safety. And it's such an everything movie, and I've always loved it, but now I've rewatched it twice in the last couple months, and I saw it at the drive-in in Cape Cod, where there is an actual shark, great white shark problem, infestation happening right now in Cape Cod, and I'm in Cape Cod, so it's like everything is culminating into this frightening reality for me, and it's so fun and exciting to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, good time.
And you know, like, just also kind of tying it into the current state of the world, when I was doing a little bit of research before this, when I typed in, I don't even remember what I was typing in to get this, but I was Googling something about Jaws, and it just finishes the sentence as Jaws face mask, and I'm like, I'm gonna look at that.
I need that for my life.
And I'm like, I don't know, I haven't bought it, but I'm thinking about it.
I would consider that pretty seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna get, like, a cute, jokey face mask, that's the one to get.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, but also, like, you Google it, like, there's some that are like, oh, well, that's fun. And there's one that I'm like, whoa, oh, no, that is too much. I'm just like, no, I'm sorry, no.
Not today, Peyton. One of my favorite things about Jaws, so many favorite things.
Yeah.
The movie itself, so scary. Made me think about how sharks are misunderstood. It really, like, fucked public perception up about sharks.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're not really, like, I mean, they're dangerous, but they're not the public dangers. Like, in the Jaws movie and other movies, other Jaws, there's, like, five Jaws sequels, and they get really bad as they, the farther out you get, but,
Yeah, not that American classic, Jaws the Revenge.
I think Jaws 3 is the 3D one, where it looks like the shark's coming at you.
Yeah, Jaws the Revenge is, like, it's either the last or the second to last.
Oh, honey. Yeah, there's one, I think the second one is the Chief Brody, you know, the one who kills the shark.
Yeah.
The second one is, I think, the shark's child going after his children on a catamaran.
Yeah.
The suspension of disbelief that you have to have.
And
that,
the, but it's like draws the revenge. I'm trying to think. There's something. It's like the thing has like it has like a telepathic connection with something, someone or something.
That's right. Like it has a vendetta. The shark has a vendetta.
Yeah. Okay, so Jaws the Revenge is the third sequel. Yeah, so we're talking about this.
I think there's one with Michael Caine, the actor. I'm not sure.
Oh, but like that this. Might be this one. Yeah, yeah, it is Jaws 3 the Revenge.
And is that the one that's also 3D?
No, I think that is, that might be, God, why were there so many?
Because it was wildly successful, the first one.
Yeah.
And to the degree that people did not, and it also like really was a thing that no one had really seen. And then at that time, they started making all these movies. Like, there was a movie that came out a little while later called mm-hmm. Orca. That was about
yep.
a killer whale coming after people.
Uh-huh.
And there was also Slither.
Yep.
Which was, I think, like, snakes. And then there was one literally just called...
Hmm?
Which is just the sound of several S's. And then there was the giant
yeah.
frog one. It was a lot,
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, did Jaws kick off the, like, big late 70s animals attacking people trend? Because there were, like, Night of the Animals.
Oh, I don't, you know, I would believe it.
Yeah.
Maybe, it's possible, but, like, I feel like Jaws did it for us because it was
yeah.
Spielberg.
Yeah, I have a soft spot for Lake Placid.
For what?
Lake Placid.
Betty White, and she
yeah.
is, she's like the animal lover who supports that
yeah.
alligator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one was sort of campy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah.
And also, because Betty White was like, is such like a big animal rights activist, so she
yeah.
was just like...
yeah, and just
looking
at this, there are so many... I started reading an article earlier that I'm having trouble finding again, but it was about, like, how we need more, like, aquatic horror movies where sharks aren't the villain.
Yes. Except for, who will ever go into the sea again?
Yeah, but it's...
Or the lake.
And I mean... Cause like there are some other pretty good shark movies, but
yeah.
there are so many bad ones. Like
I haven't seen The Meg. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
I want to see it.
I will say if, and this is something that I usually I'll ask you at the end.
Okay.
But if anyone hasn't checked out The Shallows. I thought it was pretty good. It's from 2016.
Okay.
And it's about a woman who she's surfing and she gets like washed up in these shallows far from the beach and she's surrounded by sharks.
What? I gotta see that.
And it's actually pretty good.
I'll see it.
I mean, like, Rotten Tomatoes, it gives it a... It has a 78% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I'm like, yeah, that's... yeah.
That's not bad.
It's not amazing, but I'm like, it's... Watch, give it a chance. Form your own opinion.
Give it a shot. Did you see Open Waters? I think that's what it
yeah.
was called. That's the one that got a lot of publicity because it was so low budget with bad actors.
Yeah.
And but the big thing was the money shot where they swam with a whole bunch
mm-hmm.
of like a shark frenzy in reality at the end, and it was kind of scary
yeah.
to watch, but exciting.
Yeah. And but there
That's
was
based on a true story, I think.
Mm-hmm. There is another shark movie that came out recently. I don't know that it was sharks, but it was, it might have been something else, but it was some, and it got, you know, decent reviews, but I couldn't stand it. It was about, like, there was some, like, hurricane that, like, she's, like, no, like, she's trying to get her dad out of the... Her dad is, like, trapped in the house, and she's trying to get him, and they suddenly get, like, sharks or something. Like, in the... And I gave it a chance, and it's, like, it is very rare. Usually, it doesn't matter how bad a movie is. Usually, I'm just like, well, I've started it. But, like, it is very... If I am turning a movie off in the middle, it's like, I'm like, no.
I love your description of the plot. It's like, she's getting her dad out of the house, and then there's sharks or something. I want to know how those two things...
I can't even find it on here. It was... And I don't think it was sharks. It was something... it wasn't bait. It wasn't bait, but it was something... That's another one that's gotten pretty bad reviews.
What's it called?
There's another movie called Bait that is pretty bad, but I can't think of what the movie I'm thinking of is called.
That's bad. Usually when a movie's so bad you don't even remember the name.
I'm like, I don't remember.
Did you ever see the one that was also kind of campy and it was about like really violent sharks who had been injected with a serum that made them smart, and so they started...
No, but I know, but I know what you're talking about.
I think Sam Jackson is in it.
Okay.
And they're in, like, an underwater lab. It's wild. It's scary, though, because the sharks are very precise and they're intelligent.
Yeah.
And they're looking to murder.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the silliness. The things that we believe when we watch these movies.
Okay, I'm remembering this movie. It was Alligators.
It was called Alligator?
It wasn't called Alligators, but that's what it was. It was Alligators.
Oh,
get it, like, they're, like, in the house?
Interesting.
And there have been times, there was like, it was either last year or the year before that, like, I saw some end of the year list of the best horror movies, and this was on it, and I'm like, nope, this disqualifies this list immediately.
Oh my god.
I'm like, nope.
But wait, what was it called?
I can't find it.
But you did remember that it was Alligators. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's
Let's
good.
See.
I'm trying to think. Oh, do you remember a movie? Well, maybe you don't remember, but around the same time as Jaws was a movie called Piranha.
Yeah, I've seen Piranha.
Yeah.
Crawl! That's what the fucking movie was called. It came out last year. It was called Crawl. And Rotten Tomatoes gives it an 83%. What is this? No!
That's wrong. That's not okay.
I'm like, listen, maybe it's one of these movies that people love or hate, and I just happen to hate it, but I mean...
Oh, Crawl?
A Crawl.
Oh, okay.
Because they're like in the crawl space or something.
Oh, that's wrong. Take a hike movie.
It's like, okay, when a massive hurricane hits her Florida town... Young Haley ignores the evacuation orders to search for her missing father. After finding him gravely injured in their family home, the two of them become trapped by rapidly encroaching floodwaters. and find an even greater threat than the rising water level. A relentless attack from a pack of giant alligators.
Oh my god, that does sound frightening. And it also sounds like somebody in a boardroom was like, hey, let's exploit the extreme weather that's going on across the country.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know how Florida gets a lot of hurricanes?
Yeah.
And you know how they have alligators?
Let's make that a thing. Let's scare the shit out of people who are already freaked out. Mm-hmm. Fun. So much fun. Wow, that sounds cute. Yeah. And you had to just stop it.
Yeah, I couldn't. I was like,
we're done here.
Yeah. There's a movie that I haven't seen that I just found in my looking at aquatic horror movies. Frog Dreaming.
Frog Dreaming?
Yeah, I don't know this. It's a 1986 movie. Oh, it's Australian, which I will give any Australian horror movie a chance. I just will.
Really? Okay. I don't even know. I don't know if I know from Australian horror movies. I don't know if I... I don't think I do.
Yeah, I mean...
But I do remember in the 70s or 80s, the movie with the big giant frogs attacking, like, a bunch of teenagers or something. But they were, like, the size of buildings. I don't know if you remember that.
I think I know this.
Good time.
Even like the Babadook is technically Australian.
What? Oh, I never saw that.
Like Mongo, Boar. Boar is pretty good.
Why does everybody talk about it all the time?
I don't know. And
is it scary?
I mean, I don't know. I wasn't that into it.
But what's the big deal about it? Why does everybody talk about it?
I couldn't tell you. It's like, I really couldn't.
Is that what it is? It's just a monster?
Well, yeah, it comes from like a book that she's reading her kid.
It I see.
Starts to become real.
Oh, well, that's kind of scary. I remember when I found out, like, when Cloverfield started to be advertised, I was like, ooh, that looks scary. And then it was like, Cloverfield is just a big monster? Like,
yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
But I have to say, I do respect the movie Cloverfield a lot, and I actually like it.
Oh, yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
But I was like, wait, it's just a big giant, like, dinosaur? Yeah.
And that's a movie that I went in with, like, pretty low expectations, and I was like, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But, anyway, back to Jaws.
Back to Jaws. Dun, 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 dun.
So, apparently, none of the main actors were the first choice for their character.
Shush. Even Roy Scheider?
Nope.
Wow.
They wanted Robert Duvall or Charlton Heston for Chief Brody.
But who did they want for the captain? Because Robert Shaw is extraordinary. Yeah,
they wanted Lee Marvin.
Oh, interesting. And I can see that.
Let's see. For Hooper, I had it and now I can't find it. I know Jeff Bridges was one of them, but there were two.
Hooper! Everyone, that's what's one of the great things about that movie is the cast is so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's so many great little details in it.
Yeah,
there's a detail. I there was a period where I was watching it pretty much every summer, and then I stopped about 5 years ago, and then I just watched it again twice, and I saw something I had never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the movie,
Roy
Scheider kills the shark. And him and Hooper get on a little, like, Bowie-like thing, and they start, at the end of the movie, they say, you know, they swim away, basically. Mm-hmm. And they're like, how long do you think it'll take us to get back to shore or whatever? And that's the end of the movie. They're, like, laughing and happy because the shark is dead. The carcass has been blown up.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes to the credits, and okay. The credits are superimposed over a beach.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the beach while the credits are rolling,
yeah.
Way, way off in the distance, maybe you already know this, you see them coming into shore, the two of them, and getting off the little buoy, like they made it to shore, they made it back. But there's no scene talking about them making it back, nobody, mm-hmm. nothing. They just, you see them way in the distance, like coming back on land. And I had never seen that before. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
It was very exciting. It's always exciting to see new things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
thousand times, you know, you just pay attention to the big stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was fun. I like the extras and the townspeople in that movie as well. And the muttering. Of some of them, like mm-hmm. the mayor mutters to himself a little bit.
Yep.
He's definitely a Trumpy character.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Oh.
I mean, yeah. All of the like parallel to our current situation
yep.
and Jaws are very relevant and precise.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same. It's literally about opening the beach or not. In terms of public safety versus the economy being yep. maintained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good one to revisit nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Whee! What else?
Yeah, let's see. So, Spielberg, frustrated by the shark's frequent malfunctions, nicknamed it the Great White Turd.
Yeah, if you've watched the making of that,
oh,
I
yeah.
feel like, especially the boat scene, I mean, that's where the misery, all of the actors were miserable, it took an extra long time, they were exhausted, it was a low-budget movie, he was a young director, nobody really got what he was trying to do in quite the way that he was trying to do it, mm-hmm. and there's so many, like, innovative things, like, there's a scene where the chief is shooting at the shark at the end to try and blow him up, and he has a shot of bullets shooting into the water, which I think is just a small thing that you kind of take for granted when watching the movie, but I realized, like, that is an excellent piece of visual storytelling, just that moment of seeing, like, oh, he missed, and you see what the bullet looks like shooting through water.
Yeah.
Smart. So good.
Yeah.
And the way he built suspense, but yeah, like, what they had, like, footage of a real shark, and then they had a giant mechanical shark.
Mm-hmm.
And they edited between those two things, I guess, right? Is that what the giant turd?
Yeah. So... local fishermen were unable to catch a big enough shark to use in the scene in which town officials prematurely celebrate a large shark that's uh-huh. been caught. So the film producers located a freshly caught 13-foot tiger shark in Florida and flew it to Massachusetts on a private plane.
Wow. That is wild. Wait, what town does it say that they shot it in? Is it like Martha's Vineyard?
Yeah, yeah, it's Martha's Vineyard.
It is?
Yep.
Oh, interesting. That is very interesting. I've never been there.
By the time cameras rolled, however, the shark was decomposing and smelled awful.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah. This like, next one is actually...
You gotta trust me. We gotta do this.
Yeah. This next one.
You know, I have a gripe with Jaws, the movie. One of the, there's a few, but this is a specific gripe where,
yeah.
So, the first victim in the movie is this woman in the very opening scene.
Yep.
This young girl who gets killed. And then, the chief tries to close the beach. The mayor won't let him because they're going to lose money. So he then becomes, starts obsessively watching. And then a little boy gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Kintner. But right before Billy Kintner gets killed, this guy's dog named Pippet disappears and also has been eaten. And nobody ever talks about it again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, why? Why didn't they, like, show some props to Pippet? Or
yeah.
Talk about it. Or have that guy have, like, an angry scene, like, my dog was killed.
Yeah, let him be in a Jaws sequel.
I mean, come on.
You know what? Jaws the Revenge should have been about that guy.
That guy and his lost dog. Shit. I'm here for that. I want to make that movie.
Yeah. This next fact is actually one of my favorite facts that I've read. The actress who played the grieving mother who slapped Chief Brody.
Oh, I wondered about her. Tell me everything.
Yeah, so actress Lee Fierro, she had a difficult time faking the slap and instead walloped Schneider over and over again during the many takes needed to film the scene right.
Oh my god. So she just kept slapping the shit out?
Yeah.
She's like, I'm acting, honey. I'm just gonna slap the shit out of you.
Yeah, I wonder, like, maybe she had an issue with him before. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't, oh, I keep doing this wrong, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's funny. I'm also like, why didn't the mayor step in? Because it was the mayor that was
like,
he didn't step in and be like, actually, I mean, he's a piece of shit coward, so we know why. But.
And it's like, there is a little bit of him, like, say, like, I'm sorry, like, to Chief Brody, but that's it. Or he's just like, ooh.
I'm trying to remember if there's any queer moments in Jaws, but I don't think there are.
I don't think so.
I always look for him.
Yep.
As I'm sure you do.
I mean, me too. That's like.
There's one character that's kind of fey. Or mm-hmm. He's not even a character. The way that he speaks is sort of fey. And I'm like, is that person gay? But that's mm-hmm. It. It's one line. There is a lot of. There's a little bit of homoeroticism about the three men on a boat.
Yeah.
Looking for a shark.
Yeah.
Showing off their little tattoos, yeah. Their little scars to each other. Yeah.
Do you know we're going to need a bigger boat was ad-libbed?
Shush.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that was improvised.
That I did not know. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Most famous line. We're going to need a bigger boat. Good. That is some good shit.
Yeah.
Do you know Peter Benchley has a little cameo, the guy who wrote the novel?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he's a reporter or something, right?
Yeah, he's like the news reporter. Cute. And I read a nonfiction book about this shark, famous
mm-hmm.
shark.
Yeah, well, there is a... Yeah.
That Jaws was based on. In,
mm-hmm.
I think it was in Jersey and
yep,
New York.
Yep,
and
yep, it was in Jersey.
Yeah. That's actually a scary good book, and it sounds similar, obviously. Like, why is this shark, like, menacing? It seems like this one area, and, like, a kid in a little, like, local pond gets killed by the shark, and it's a real story, and he based it all on that. It's a good story.
Yeah. So then the original test of screenings, when do you think the audience's loudest screams were?
In the original screening? Let's see. I'm going to go go by my memory of when I saw it when I was a kid, and I think when Ben Gardner's head comes out of the...
Yeah!
Is that it? Yeah. That's one, and then I think also when they're in the kids are in the pond practicing.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That,
did you see it?
That's a scene for me that is just like, oh!
It just makes you like, oh! To this day, I hope I put my feet up when I watch this movie.
Yeah.
Scared. Oh, good times. Can't shake that terror. I remember when Jaws 2 came out, all the kids on my block were like, did you hear that? In Jaws 2, when you go to the movie theater, there's a real shark in a tank in the theater. And I was like, I'm not going to that.
Like, that would have made me go. I'm like, oh, okay.
I was just so scared. I had to like be like, there's a real shark. Yeah. Like, I passed the nasty rumor on. Fake news, I guess.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So... apparently, Gregory Peck forced a scene to be cut from Jaws.
What? What does Gregory Peck have to do with it?
Yeah, so, okay, in early drafts of the screenplay, Quint was originally introduced while causing a disturbance in a movie theater while watching the 1958 adaptation of Moby Dick. The scene was shot, but Gregory Peck, who played Captain Ahab in that movie, owned the rights and refused to let them use it.
No.
Yeah.
Interesting. What was the scene?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it. Well, so it's them watching, apparently, like, it's in the middle of the movie, and that's when Quint is first introduced.
When Quint is?
Yeah.
Oh, well, his introduction in the...
I think it's probably better the way it is, then.
Yeah, that he's on land.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he does that awful noise.
Yep.
Ugh. Hate that. Oh, so many things.
Yeah.
What else? What do we got?
Yeah, I mean, I'm proud of myself for not... at saying the joke I said to you when you first suggested this to me.
No, say it. You gotta say it now.
Yeah. So, I mean, if everyone, we're gonna need a bigger podcast. You know, but the fact is, like, the fact that, like, I didn't intro the episode with that is, you know,
well,
kind of...
maybe that should be the title.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm kind of thinking that with this, like... With the animal one, with the animal podcast, the topic is introduced, but I think I might just have this just be some sort of ambiguous title for all of the episodes, because I haven't dropped any of these episodes. I haven't dropped any of these episodes yet. We're just like, hey, we're gonna need a bigger podcast, or, you know, like, I don't know. I'll think of things. And, the episode, speaking of, like, iconic horror movie scores, I just recorded, the Halloween episode about a week ago. Yeah.
I saw that in the theater when I was a kid, too. Yikes.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know if you've heard of Black Christmas.
Yep, I've...
I saw that in the theater, and I believe Carpenter based some of Halloween on that, off of Black Christmas.
Yeah.
Frightening. Frightening!
See, so Robert Shaw actually edited the USS Indianapolis speech. For the character. It was originally much longer.
I was always curious about that. Every time I watch it, I'm like, and how is it? It's historically accurate? We should look episode of? Because that is quite a story.
So the speech wasn't in the novel, and the backstory of Quint being a sailor on the ship first appeared in an uncredited rewrite of the script by playwright Howard Sackler, later writer-director, and Spielberg's friend John Milius expanded the characteristic into a multi-page monologue, which was then whittled down and spruced up by the actor, Robert Shaw, who himself was a playwright.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, not the Shaw, but... Yeah.
No. No.
A Shaw. Yep. Right. That's interesting.
Yeah. How's it going to be the other Shaw playwright? It's like, no, not that one.
Playwright.
Yep. And when it was released, PG.
Uh-huh. When it was released, what?
It's PG. It is rated PG despite being unanimously one of the scariest movies.
Interesting.
Yeah, it had a PG rating, which is probably how you know. And I mean, a lot of movies that, like, in hindsight, may. And right. I don't know if you know this, but Toby Hooper wanted a PG rate. It was either a PG or a PG-13 rating for Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
What the fuck?
And he had been like, what do I need to edit out to make this PG? And they're like, everything! They're like, how about PG-13? They're like, yeah, it's gonna be R!
Gosh, no. Not like this Texas Chainsaw. That's the original one, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's...
Oh my god. What a terrible... That movie is so scary.
Yeah. So when Jaws released, it was in more than 400 theaters in the United States. It was the first movie to gross over $100 million at box office, so it was the biggest hit that movies had ever seen up to that point.
That's why everybody kept copying it.
Yeah, it was the biggest grossing movie of all time until Star Wars beat it 2 years later.
Also a John Williams score, right?
Yep.
Interesting. I have a friend whose father, an editor, she's an editor, but her father edited Terry and Star Wars. And I'm like, do you know what an influence your father has on my life? Among other movies, but like, those are two big ones.
Yeah.
Like, those are really well edited and affected my life. Oh, fun times. Editing is everything.
Yeah. So the original ending was simply the shark dying of harpoon injuries inflicted by Quint and Brody, which is the same way that Moby Dick ends.
Yeah, there's like all the Moby Dick parallels, which explains why Quint is so like ridiculous and egocentric about it's his personal mission, and he's destructive. Mm-hmm. And when he destroys the radio, mm-hmm. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? Egos.
Yeah. But I have
lots of problems.
Have you ever seen Duel?
What's it called?
Duel, which was Spielberg's previous movie before Jaws.
Is that the truck one?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was... I've never seen it, but I know that it was, like, similar to Jaws, where there's, like, a truck menacing and coming after them, and...
Yeah.
It's very, yeah.
I've seen it. It's not bad.
I mean, because he's so good at, like, making suspense.
Mm-hmm.
with, like, I feel like he challenged himself to be like, how do we make an object scary?
Yeah.
And you just can do that.
Mm-hmm.
He's a smarty pants.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on about Jaws? Because we've been talking for about 48 minutes now, so I'm just...
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so I want to get into wrap-up territory.
There's so many things I could talk about.
Yeah.
But I could go on forever, but I feel like we touched on the big important things. I like to talk about the woman who played his wife, and I thought she was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And she has one of my favorite, funniest moments in the movie where she's like, oh, calm down, honey, about the shark. And they're looking at the boat, at their kid out on the little boat. He's like, and then she looks at a picture in a shark book of a shark biting the boat, and she's like, you heard your father!
Get in the house!
So real and so well done.
Yeah.
And she seems like such a sweet mom. And
yep.
It seemed like a very real little family.
Yeah.
Actually, like,
she was in all three. She was in all three Jaws movies.
Yes, she's the one that kept coming back because she wasn't the big star.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm gonna get my money. I'm gonna get my Jaws money, honey.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought she was really great.
Yeah. Yeah, but, so, I mean, not that, you know, Jaws isn't necessarily a paranormal movie, but this is a question I ask on this to wrap up. Have you ever had a real paranormal experience?
Well, I had this thing for a while in my apartment where there was, like, a man visiting me in the night in my room.
Okay.
And I was getting scared because it was happening relatively frequently, and mm-hmm. I started sleeping. Like, if at the time I had a girlfriend, and if she was not sleeping over, I would be sleeping out in the living room. I didn't want to go in my bedroom alone.
Yeah.
And I think I finally, like, it was shortly after one of my brothers had passed away, so there was a piece of his art in my room, so I thought it had to do with him, so I moved, and his art was like a painting on a chair, so I moved the chair out of my room, and then I announced, like, you can't, whoever you are, ghosty, you gotta get out of here, and then she saw the ghost, the girlfriend at the time, and so... I moved the chair and I said, you gotta go. And then basically it stopped happening. And I did, someone gave me Palo Santo, which I had not heard of at that time. And I used it. Then I was talking to one of my neighbor who has the same apartment layout as me, lived right upstairs from me. I told him, I don't know, 5 years after the fact. And he told me, it was the same. He was like, there was a period of time that I also was not sleeping in my bedroom, and I think it was the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Huh.
I want to touch on one other thing about Jaws.
Sure, absolutely.
There's a thing about class that they touch on.
Oh, absolutely.
Like the three of them, you know, like Hooper and Quint. Quint keeps calling Hooper out on him being, like, entitled and fancy and not having having worked with his hands. And I feel like Chief Brody, I guess, is sort of, I don't know, middle class. And so it's just interesting, the three of them, and how they sort of, like, address that and talk about it. And, of course, guess who dies? The poor person.
Yeah.
Anyway. This is interesting that they sort of acknowledge that and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Jaws has everything, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, go on. Other questions?
Okay, so are there any... It can be a movie, it can be a horror genre, a book. Is there any horror thing that you think is underrated, or, you know, underappreciated, you know, a movie or book that someone should check out if they've, you know, that they might have missed.
I wrote a couple things down, and I'm not sure if they're underrated or not. Hold on. I thought I wrote them down.
I mean, it can just be like a recommendation that isn't...
Carnival of Souls.
Oh, yes!
Yeah.
And,
that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm a big horror anthology fan.
Okay. Night of the Living Dead, obviously.
Yep.
Rosemary's Baby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, almost all the old Twilight Zones.
Yep.
And then I wanted to say that, you probably already know this, but in Hitchcock movies,
mm-hmm.
there's always, I feel like he always throws in a queer moment.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but there's like, and I don't know if you ever, did you ever see Rope?
Yes.
It's about the gay couple that kind of get off on having a dead body
mm-hmm.
in their dinner party.
Mm-hmm.
And then Strangers on a Train.
Yep.
It's very much about a gay man, obviously, and I just feel like there's a lot of interesting queerness, and there's and he sometimes it's just a small 1 second moment, or like there was a dinner party with lesbians once, which I thought was exciting mm-hmm. in like a 1939 movie.
Yeah,
maybe 1922, I don't know, something like that. Yeah, I feel like I talked about all the under
yeah.
I feel like maybe, you know, Carnival of Souls might be the most obscure thing.
Yeah, I think that's the one that people listening to might not know. And I'd recommend that one.
That one's just so eerie and creepy.
Yeah.
Like, they really just somehow were able to create an eerie-ass, like, reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that alone in the theater when I was like, I don't know, 20 years old.
Yeah,
and
I saw this movie at work. The first time I was working at a bookstore when I was like 18 or 19. I'd work nights at this indie bookstore, and they had uh-huh. like DVDs, and like if you know, a bunch of nights, like, you know, we were allowed to just put DVDs on. So I, you know, and when I was working, not a lot of people would come in.
Right.
So I put this movie on, and like, yeah, I remember that. I'd never heard of it before, but like, yeah, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, yeah, I like horror anthologies. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Is it an anthology? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Unless we're thinking of... Oh, I might be thinking of two different movies. I've seen Carnival of Souls. Yeah.
What's the other one you're thinking of?
I got it mixed up with There Is... it's called, like... So it's literally called, like, Soul Carnival. But no, oh, I, and no, like, okay. Also, like, Carnival of Souls, also, absolutely.
Yeah.
And like I get them mixed up a bunch, but I'm also fans of both movies.
I bet Soul Carnival is not an accident, but if it's eerie and scary.
Yeah.
You think it's referencing that?
I don't know.
Check that out. Frightening. Oh, you know what else was kind of scary? No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, they really made a person devoid of, like, representative of evil itself, I guess. Good times.
Yeah. I think I'm done. Torture Garden, that's what it's called.
Torture Garden?
Yeah.
Oh, honey, that sounds very interesting.
And it's not nearly as, like... And it's like, from, like, 1965 or something, so it's, like...
Ooh.
Yeah, 1967. Ooh, I don't know, and, like, I don't know why I get them mixed up so much, because they're completely different movies. But no, I love Carnival of Souls.
Are they from the same period?
I think
so. Carnival's close to 60s, maybe.
I think so.
Cute. Torture Garden. Yikes. Oh,
1962,
gosh.
Carnival of Souls.
What was that?
1962, Carnival of Souls. Yep.
So creepy.
Yeah, it's so good.
So I recommend people see it if they want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, like, if you like the old Twilight Zone episodes, you'll like this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a full-length creepy Twilight Zone thing where... But a little surreal, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, we are pretty much done. Last thing that I do is I have my guest just tell people what they have going on, where you can be found on the internet. Yeah,
oh,
social
yes.
media, anything you want to share.
So I have a storytelling show, which used to be In Real Life, which you have done.
Yep.
And that's on... We've been doing it virtually. It's called Tell, and I get usually 4 or 5 storytellers, and the next one will be on July 18th. We just had one this past weekend for Pride. It was, the theme was Queer Black Lives Matter.
Awesome.
Amazing lineup of storytellers, and I might have recordings for that coming out soon, but I also have a podcast. Season 1 of Tell is out. You can find it. It's produced mm-hmm. by Brick, but it's on, like, Apple and Stitcher and Spotify. And then I'm on Instagram under DreBiz, D, like David, R-A-E-B-I-Z.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can find my storytelling on Instagram under Tell Queers. It's T-E-L-L-Q-U-E-E-R-Z.
Okay.
And I have DreGamble.com, which is... I try to keep updated, but it gives you an idea of who I am. I'm also mostly an actor, and I have a couple things coming out that are in film festivals right now. I have a web series that I'm in coming out in October. It's called it's season 2 of Dinette, and it's making the rounds in some of the festivals right now.
Yeah.
And you can watch season 1 on YouTube, Dinette. That's pretty much, and I'm, on the Facebooks.
Yep.
I have a page and all that jazz, good stuff.
Yeah,
thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Dre.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for talking to me about Jaws today, and thank you everyone for listening. We'll be back next time.
Take care, everybody. Much love.
Yep, we'll be back next time. Or will we?